The Holy Gospel is from the book of Matthew, in the 22nd chapter, I think. Amen. Amen. I'm going to set the stage a little bit for this reading. It takes place in the last week of Jesus' life, the week that we're accustomed to celebrate in, or commemorate, as it were, in Holy Week. After Jesus has made his pilgrimage to Jerusalem, entered the temple, and then we had the famous event of him overturning all of the tables of the money changers there. And it made a lot of people in the Jerusalem religious and political establishment very angry. But they were not able to do anything at first because Jesus was so popular with the people. And so he stayed in the temple for a week after that first disruptive event, teaching the people as the various groups tried to come in and, as we're about to hear, entrap him in different ways. Then the Pharisees sought to entrap Jesus in his words. So they sent their disciples and along with the Herodians to ask him a question. And they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the word of God in accordance with the truth and show deference to no one, for you treat no one, all people, with impartiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said to them, "Why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me a coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then Jesus said to them, "Whose image is on this coin, and whose likeness? And whose title?" And they said to him, "The emperor's." Jesus said, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, but give to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left Jesus alone and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. All right, I started to give you a little bit of background to this story before I told it. I'd like to give a little bit more background to what was so entrapping about this question. They come to him, the various factions that existed in Jerusalem of the time. And we've heard of the Pharisees, of course. We've heard of Sadducees. We've heard of Zealots. Some others that are not mentioned as much in the Bible are the Essenes that we might know of Dead Sea Scroll fame. And today, for the first time, we hear of the Herodians coming to Jesus with this entrapping kind of question. So, why is it entrapping? First, okay, the Pharisees, who are they? What are they about? The Pharisees are people who want to see a really strict separation between religion and culture, politics, economics. Pharisees want to say religion is about living a different life. It's all about a whole different lifestyle. And you have to stay uncontaminated by politics, economy. It's about separation. Stay away from those things that would draw you away from God. It's all about a whole lifestyle. And you need to avoid the taxes altogether. That's all Caesar's business, right? Just don't have anything to do with that filthy lucre, say the Pharisees. The Herodians we don't know very much about, but we can assume they're like the Sadducees in that they are very worldly types of people. They say, you can practice your religion, and you can live in the world just fine. you can be a Jew and a Greek and Roman culturally, just as you please. Be a good citizen. Your religion obliges you to be a good citizen. Pay your taxes to the emperor, they would say. So this strange couple of bedfellows team up to ask Jesus a question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? You know those yes-no kind of questions. Yes, no. Maybe you've been in that situation before. Somebody asks you, just answer the question, yes or no, right? If you haven't been in that spot yourself, you've certainly seen it on TV as our politicians spar and dialogue and engage with each other. We're so familiar with this, with Supreme Court hearings or parliamentary procedures. Answer the question, yes or no. And of course, if Jesus answers yes, then the Pharisees are really mad at him. Yes, you should pay your taxes to the emperor. And now the Pharisees say, look, this guy's no real teacher after all. He has no credibility. He's just all about paying taxes. You can't say that. He's not a real Jew. On the other hand, of course, if Jesus says no, the Herodians, which is like the political party in support of Herod, we can assume that they're the worldly ones, right? They're going to say, look, throw him in jail. He says he's out there preaching sedition, that you shouldn't pay your taxes to the emperor. So one of those yes-no questions again, where the questioner wants to frame the terms. It's all on the questioner's terms. And they're determined, they're going to entrap Jesus. Wow, if we think partisan politics are something new, just read the Bible again. We see it all over here. The hatred that oozes through, the malice that oozes through these words. All of them trying to capture Jesus, put him in their terms, or else destroy Jesus, the one who comes to challenge them. The one who, ironically enough, is sincere, as they recognize, who does preach the way of God in accordance with the truth. They're only flattering him, but as it happens, these words are the deepest truth. He shows partiality to no one. Yes or no, Jesus, answer the question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Show me a coin used for the tax, Jesus says. And they give them the denarius. Oh, you got me now. They give him the denarius. Oh! And his answer, give to the emperor what is the emperor's. It's a two-stage answer. And like any good politician, Jesus sidesteps the terms of the interrogator, and he answers in his own way. Give to the emperor what is the emperor's. Now, what does this really mean? Does it mean, has he just sided here with the Pharisees, or has he sided with the Herodians? Has he said, yeah, just give it back. Have nothing to do with the emperor. Give it to him. Give to the emperor what is the emperor's. In other words, don't have anything to do with it at all. Or has he said, yes, be a good citizen, pay your taxes, give to the emperor what is the emperor's? They don't know. They're amazed, says Scripture. They've been caught in their own questioning. But then Jesus comes in with the second level. Give to God the things that are God's. And now both groups are just downright angry. Because really, what is God's? Everyone of Jesus' day, and maybe of ours, would have been familiar with the phrase from the Psalms, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it." The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. Jesus challenges the Herodians, the cultural accommodationists, the ones who want to support the rule of the king. And he says, you know what? Yes, but there's an authority higher than the king. You can't just be the religious, the cultural, the political conservatives who say, you know, the power and the structures of this world as they are good. We should support them. Jesus says, no, there may be times when you need to resist the rule of Herod, the unjust rules, the unjust laws that exist, in obedience to that higher authority, to God's rule of justice and peace and joy. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. You don't have the full story, you Herodians. Of course, Jesus also angers the Pharisees, because he reminds them that you can't just segregate off your religious life. The whole earth is the Lord's, including the realms of politics and economics. You can't just stay clean of it all in your own little enclave, because God is out there among all people. So your religion compels you to be engaged. Yes, Pharisees, you're probably right. God calls you to a different and a higher lifestyle, a kind of separation. But God also calls you to step out into the world, to engage and be active. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. So Jesus angers everyone here. But I think he goes deeper to point to something positive for his audience and for us too. If the emperor's image is on that coin, where is God's image and where is God's title? Let's rewind the scene. Show me a coin used for the tax, and they give him a denarius. Whose image and whose title are here? The emperor's. He can have this piece of metal. Where is God's image? Let's imagine Jesus stepping to the poor woman whom we have just seen in the temple, giving her last to the temple treasury. And we remember that scene as Jesus says she gave more than any of the rest of you. Where is God's image? In this woman who is accounted for nothing in the religious world of the day, in this poor one, in this suffering. Where is God? God's image is found in every human being, and perhaps we can also start with ourselves. In a world that wants to carve us up into factions, play identity politics, if you want to use that phrase, set us aside as Herodians or Pharisees or Essenes or Sadducees or conservatives or liberals, Republicans, Democrats, I don't know. Jesus is saying, who you are is a precious child of God created in God's image. Your life, your being is God's. Your life, your being in the world is God's. Discover God there. Discover God in all things. In yourself. In the poor one who needs justice. In the snow, in the leaves, in the rocks. In politics, in economics. God is there in all things. Jesus knew this. Remember again, it's the last week of his life. and he's not making any friends as he honors the image of God within himself, as he teaches with sincerity and truth. He knows where this is going, to the cross, as he gives his life for the world. Remember, God so loved the world, the cosmos. God gave the only Son to suffer and to die for us. Thanks be to God, who has named us and claimed us as beloved children, who calls us to give our lives also for the sake of a world in need. Praise be to God. Amen.